26. We are confident you can book the reserves. Before 2003, the marble floor in the entrance lobby of Baghdad's flagship Al-Rashid Hotel contained an inlaid tile mosaic of America's 41st president. Not a convincing likeness, but a recognizable one. The mosaic rendered George Herbert Walker Bush in a suit, tie, and pocket chief, accompanied by a caption, "Bush is criminal." After the invasion of Iraq led by America's 43rd president, George W. Bush, the Al-Rashid's ownership redecorated. The hotel was a tall, rectangular building with concrete balconies, surrounded by green lawns and palm trees. It presented an inviting target to the mortar squads of the anti-American insurgents who embroiled Baghdad in violence after the invasion. The Al-Rashid lay within the walled green zone, where American and Iraqi authorities sought to govern and stabilize the country. Rocket attacks, parades of demanding international visitors on tight schedules, and repetitive conferences aimed at arresting Iraq's downward spiral took a toll on the Al-Rashid's staff and ambience. On June 29, 2009, Richard Fearbuchen, an ExxonMobil vice president in charge of upstream operations in the Middle East, made his way to the Al-Rashid's ballroom, which had been decorated emphatically in green, the color of Islam. Rows of green cloth chairs faced a stage backed by a green curtain. On the stage, officials from Iraq's oil ministry sat at a long table draped with shiny green bunting. To one side, propped on a stand, stood an empty glass box about the size of an aquarium. Television lights bathed the room in brightness. Fearbuchen was a tall, slim, athletic-looking man in his 50s. He held a doctoral degree in applied geophysics from Princeton University and had worked in the Arab world and Central Asia for the corporation for many years. After 2003, ExxonMobil's global security and political risk analysts had advised Tillerson that the corporation's executives should stay away from Iraq, as the threats of kidnapping and violence were too great. Fearbuchen and his colleagues had talked with Iraqi government officials about the possibility of ExxonMobil's bidding for work in Iraqi oil and gas fields, but these meetings took place outside the country, in Jordan, Turkey, the United Arab Emirates, Europe, or the United States. Now, at last, a somewhat calmer Iraq was on the verge of putting some of its immense reserves, the second or third largest combined oil and gas bounty on the planet, after Saudi Arabia and alongside Russia, up for bids by international oil companies. Iraqi politics and pride demanded that companies wishing to participate in the auction send executives in person to Baghdad. Fearbuchen could be assured, at least, that thousands of American soldiers remained in the Iraqi capital, providing security to the Green Zone and other critical installations. After the Second World War, and before the rise of resource nationalism in the Middle East, ExxonMobil had shared in the lucrative oil concession in Iraq. The corporation had owned and produced some of the country's richest, sweetest reserves, clustered near the head of the Persian Gulf. Saddam Hussein had thrown Exxon out in 1972. The Al-Rashid auction had the trappings of a game show. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki delivered a speech. The American ambassador, Christopher Hill, came to listen and watch. Live on national television, one by one, oil executives and Iraqi officials dropped envelopes of varying colors into the square glass box on stage. Screens in the ballroom tabulated certain scores for each bid, using guidelines issued by the Iraqi Ministry of Oil. The scores sought to measure which oil company offers would most benefit Iraq. The large invited ballroom audience applauded when Iraqi officials opened some of the envelopes. The day's purpose was to provide Iraq a much greater reward from its oil wealth. 6 years after the American invasion, despite the Bush administration's investment of $4 billion of U.S. taxpayer funds to rehabilitate the country's oil infrastructure and the loss of countless lives, Iraqi crude production remained stuck at about 2.5 million barrels per day, below its peak during the Saddam years. Moreover, Iraq's anti-American insurgency had evolved by 2006 into a vicious civil war along Iraq's Sunni-Shia sectarian fault line. The war was one reason why the oil industry had underperformed. Decrepit pipelines dating to the Saddam era, inadequate electricity, and field production technologies that had barely been updated since the 1970s meant that even when violence gradually subsided after the surge of U.S. forces President Bush ordered into Baghdad in 2007, Iraq still lacked the means on its own to raise oil production quickly. Outside estimates of the investments needed to bring Iraqi production up to 6 million barrels per day or more, a target easily within reach if geology were the only factor, ranged from $25 billion to $75 billion. Iraq had organized the Al-Rashid auction to accept bids from potential foreign investment and technology partners, not only oil corporations from the free market West, but state-owned companies from Russia, China, and India as well. The glass box and the television cameras were intended to assure the public that the outcome would be transparent and not subject to the sort of corruption and official theft that was prevalent in the country. Richard Fearbuchen had been involved in the negotiations and paperwork to pre-qualify ExxonMobil for the auction. He regarded the reopening of Iraqi oil to outside investment as one of the world's great oil opportunities, a unique prospect given the undeveloped size and proximity to sea lanes that Iraq's big southern fields offered. The oil was of exceptionally high quality, almost like engine oil, as an American government official who worked with Iraq on its oil industry put it. Fearbuchen rose from his chair when ExxonMobil's turn arrived. He ascended the stage and walked toward the glass box. He carried a tan envelope. The bill inside contained, in accordance with rules set by the Iraqi Oil Ministry, just two numbers: a target for increased production in the particular oil field for which ExxonMobil was bidding, and the price per barrel in U.S. dollars that the corporation wanted to be paid. Fearbuchen smiled awkwardly for the cameras and dropped his envelope in the box.